As I'm hitting the button.
How the hell?
There we go.
For the green light. All right.
No!
Get those words!
All right, guys, all that noise, you know what that means. It's time for a Bid Nerds episode. We are live here in studio in Las Vegas and also San Francisco. My name is John Polnick. I'm your host of Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on all the automotive enthusiast sites, along with my partner, Michael Deeb. He's coming to you from the Bay Area. I'm on the Las Vegas Strip. Good morning, Michael Deeb.
Good morning, JP.
What's up, man, you know, I'm excited today. I can't breathe because apparently I'm allergic to something, so I'm really, really snotty. That's on top of being an a-hole, so being snotty and an a-hole. I got problems, right?
Listen, you sound perfect. I know you're sniffling on the inside and you're struggling with, you know, the mucus and all that, but you sound fine, so... never fear, my friend.
I evacuated all of this during our really loud intro, so that was the perfect opportunity to do so in the very last second. But give me 5 minutes, and I will sound like crap again.
Backed up again.
You know, so I thought today, since you know, you and I are really so bad at this, and we love to have third nerds come in and show
Absolutely.
Us how it's done, we'd bring a guest in, one of our favorite people in the
oh
world,
my God.
A
my
guy, you know, long you know him from the Instawebs, from Work on Your Karma. He's the guy that made 914 Rubber what it is. Without him, I don't know how that company would be anything other than some little company that sells parts for a little car that nobody had ever heard of. But now everybody knows what the hell they are. Matthew Whitesell, how are you, brother?
What's up, dude?
Good morning, guys.
Welcome, welcome.
You look good. Well, that's probably about appropriate.
We are glad to see the technical stuff working. We got a little bit of a late start because Matthew Whitesell, in all his genius, was not able to get his phone to go horizontal. So he was very vertical before, but now he's horizontal, and we're happy to have
from,
you here.
From Portland, right? Are we talking to you live from Portland, Oregon?
Live from Portland, Oregon.
And how many inches of rain are you guys going to get today?
Actually, we are getting rain today. So.
Are you really?
Yeah, we got a little pop-up event tomorrow morning we're going to go to, so we're hoping that it clears up for that.
Blows out, yeah.
Nice. Matthew White, so what, you got stuff you want to plug? You want to plug Work on Your Karma? I love that. That's one of my favorite Instagram pages, Work on Your Karma. You're all about good mood dudes.
Good mood dudes, yeah. We all need, you know... We all need brothers out there, right? So just be good people and look out for each other.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's what this car community is about, or at least it is for me, and why I know that's why being a car enthusiast has been something that's been important to my personal life, almost my entire life. You know, all my best friends pretty much came from this world. And it's because of guys like Matthew Whitesell and, of course, Michael Deeb over there, too.
Hey.
You know, you guys, it really is. It's one of those things people, you know, we have the Porsche Road Trip TV show that just came out. And people are, you know, people that have no idea are constantly asking, well, what is this Porsche Road Trip thing? And I, you know, I want to tell them it's a love story, man. It's not about, yeah, there's cars in there and stuff like that. But it's really about friendships and community. And that's just why we, why we love these auction sites too, because even though it's all about cars and there's all these different things kind of popping up and we're talking about values and nerding out about the specifics on these individual cars, what's fun about it is the experiences that you get when you get actually own one of these, right?
Who's your buddy that just bought the LeBron last year? What's
Matt Drobny. Yeah.
Matt Drobny. Yeah. Yeah. Like, is it Matt? I'm like, Matt's on the show. It's the other Matt.
Different Matt.
But
yeah.
But Matt has just like a complete stranger transaction who has just every couple months just like re-enters your life and has become a friend. Like, that's just awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna go hang out at his house probably next weekend. in LA, you know, I mean, and he's just a fantastic guy, and he's a car enthusiast, and I never in a million years would have met him if it weren't for Cars and Bids. I sold a cheap car and he's the guy that bought it, and we just became friends immediately, and I love that guy. Yeah. So that's why we're in it. And unfortunately, there's some people that in this game that are not. They're just out to sell used cars, and we talk about that a lot too on this show.
Yeah. Hey, really quickly, last night you sent me a text, and I watched Everyone Racers on YouTube last night, because your buddies with Mental, who lives in Vegas, mm-hmm. but his partners on the show are Chris and Chrissy, and then Jeff. And at the end of the show, Jeff brought us up what seemed to be organically talking about his new favorite program, the Bid Nerds. And they gave us a very warm shout out and talked about the show and the format. And then they reviewed a couple of cars that we reviewed talking about.
Yeah, they were stealing our jam, weren't they?
Absolutely. And NSX. But Jeff says we were his new favorite YouTube channel. So shout out to Jeff for having the
okay, so for those of you listening and not watching, Matthew Weitzel,
Matt's running business.
He's got real things to do.
Don't know if I can actually silence that phone. That's a national landline.
Yeah. Somebody.
What the heck was that?
Somebody just not put a new set of floor mats for a 914. Yeah. That's what that just happened. But anyway, Jeff gave us a great shout out, and then Chrissy apparently does what we do by watching BAT every day, and Jeff suggested that we should get Chrissy on the show. So if Mental doesn't beat her to it, I think we should absolutely have Chrissy on the show. That'd be fantastic to have our first female guest and somebody who could definitely go down this rabbit hole with us. So anyways, if you haven't checked it out, Everyone Racers talk about grassroots racing, how to do it on the cheap and affordable, and they seem to go all over the country and report back what to expect at a regional track near you. So really nice guys. Thanks for the shout out, people.
Yeah. Hey, Mental, you've been bumped by Chrissy.
Totally.
That's official.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll get them all on.
The culmination of their little time about talking about us, Mental said that talking about you and I, that they are guys just like them because cars are more than just cars to us. They are a means of connecting with other people. And I thought that was a really, really sweet thing to say. So Mental said that at the end of their little bit about us. And I thought that was very cool. And I thought that was a great segue to what Matt was talking about this morning. So welcome, Matt Weitzel. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Before we get to the cars, we are talking a lot about guys, and it's great that there are ladies in the community as well. And one of them is the creator of our sponsor, Guys Customs. If you guys have heard me talk about these before, look at that. Michael Deeb's wearing his. I'm wearing mine. He's got Deuce. Guys Custom. These are bespoke bracelets, handmade by a
you
female
will be stoked
enthusiast.
To get one too.
Yeah, you would be. These are made to either match your watch or your car or both. You will get one for each, she'll paint the sample beads specifically to the color code of your car. She'll match the beads to your watch and whatever colors that watch might have. Doesn't matter what watch you have. You could have a Patek Philippe. You could have a Tag Heuer. You could have a Rolex. You could have a Bell & Ross. Doesn't matter. Whatever watch you're into, she will make a bracelet, or probably has made a bracelet, to match almost every watch imaginable. And you can go to her Instagram page. It's the only place to get one of these. You can't go on Shopify. There's no website. There's none of that stuff. You just have to go to Guys Customs. It's Guys spelled G-Y-X, just like that on the bottom there. G-Y-X _ Customs. That's Guys Customs on Instagram. We'll put the link in the information area below, because Matthew Weitzel reminded me that we didn't do that before because we're morons. Guys _ Custom, you DM her, and you will be DMing the artist, and she will she'll ask you a bunch of questions. You know, she'll have you send pictures of your car or your watch or whatever you're trying to match, she'll make something individually for you. They're custom bracelets, super high quality. They're awesome, awesome, awesome bracelets. bracelets, and we get compliments on them all the time. Every time we walk around with them, it's crazy. So anyways, check out guys_customs, Guys Customs on the Instagram, and get your bespoke bracelet today. All right, let's get to the cars. The thing we do on this show, if you haven't watched or listened before, we nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day that we pick from Cars and Bids, Bring a Trailer, P Car Market, Rad for Sale, and all the other auction sites. We wade through hundreds and hundreds of cars and find the most interesting ones for you, so you don't have to. Here they are. We lay them out. We talk about the cars, and then we get to the really interesting part, which is making predictions as to what we think they will sell for in today's crazy, crazy market. And let me tell you, we don't know what we're doing. That's why we occasionally bring experts on, like Matthew Weitzel. Seriously, we're really bad at this, so don't take our advice, but do listen and make fun of us. We enjoy that. Do that in the comments below. We really enjoy it when you do that. All right, so let's get to yesterday's cars. How did we do yesterday? There was another big car on P Car Market. Yep. They got another Singer. Apparently people just love selling their Singers on P Car Market, even though they failed to sell 2 out of 3 of them. So what, what happened yesterday?
Well, with this JP, thing? Very interesting result, because the Singers sold at the close of auction. But what made this result, two things that made this result very interesting, in my opinion. First of all, when we were covering the show yesterday, the night before, somebody had bid $900,500. And then after we did the show, with like in the final hour of the close of this lot on P Car Market, this Singer got 4 or 5 more bids. So the guy that threw the knockout punch at 900 grand went back and forth with this other guy up to $905,964. And our guy that bid $900,500 quit. He gave up at $905,964. And then our car sold at $905,964. So what I don't understand is, if you're willing to bid $900,000 on a Singer, why would you give up $6,000 into the fight to get the car? Like, that just doesn't make any sense why this guy backed off. So I don't know, man. We've suspected weird things have happened on the auction sites before. This close of auction doesn't make any sense. Like, if they chased this up to $1 million and the guy backed out, I get it. But why would you back out at $6,000 in? If you would go 900, why wouldn't you go 907 if you really want this, you know, really special Singer? The other thing is, JP, our car from last week sold for $1,125,000 or something in that range. This car had a third of the miles. It had more celebrity owners, and by all accounts, was equipped exactly the same way with the optional Olin suspension. Why did this car sell for, you know, almost $200,000 less? That's really weird. The reserve on this car was significantly lower when the car itself had lower miles. So this number doesn't make any sense to me. In my opinion, this should have been a more valuable version. The reserve was set lower, and then the car, of course, sold lower. So congratulations, P Car Market. In 2 weeks has sold 2 Singers. I still don't think that's the best place to go if you have one. I would either go to one of the big 3 auction houses, or I would put it on Bring a Trailer if I wanted to get it listed right away, as compared to doing a seasonal auction. I know it takes a while to get on BAT, but I just think that there's money left on the table. If the other one was worth 1.1, why isn't this worth 1.2? Why did this go for 200 grand less? Nothing about this auction lot makes any sense to me, but anyway, they did it. They sold it before the hammer.
Matthew, so what do you think of this result?
You know, when they started selling these, they were what, 500,000?
Way less, yeah. Half that,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean, this, somebody's still making money on this thing, and if they're happy with that profit, and you know, finds another home for somebody who's gonna love it, good for the community, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess I'm just like totally, I'm totally floored that this went for, like you said, Deep, you know, almost $200,000 fewer than the one that, just a few days before. And to be clear, the one that they sold previously failed to sell. They did ultimately sell it in their deal tank, which is their like used car lot where they sick used car salespeople at you. And this is kind of what I was talking about at the top of the show, is that we're, you know, we're in this community for the community. And I feel like there is... there are actors in this community that are kind of feeding off of it. And I think PCAR Market is one of those. I feel like they are in this because they see an opportunity to profit from it. I don't believe, frankly, that they are enthusiasts themselves. I don't believe that if they weren't, you know, wearing their used car salesman jackets out there, that they'd be out there in the community driving these cars and hanging out with us. I've never heard of these guys until they started slinging cars on, you know, Long Island. So I don't get why a high-end owner who is someone who would own something like a Singer would put the car for
sale. Entrust it to these guys.
Entrust it to these guys. I think what it is, though, honestly, Deep, and Matt and everybody out there listening, you know, both these cars that have been on PCAR Market are Singers that have had multiple owners already. Right. And, you know, let's be real, 99% of Singer owners don't sell their cars and never will. And the only way you're ever going to get one of those is when they die. And so, you know, and I don't mean that, you know, in a mean way. It's like, who would get rid of that car, right? You're going to, if you have enough money to get one, why would you sell it? You're obviously not hard up for cash, right?
Every Singer is as bespoke as a guy's custom bracelet.
That is correct. Yeah. Nice play there. So I think that a few that are out there that are being sold by profiteers and people that are just also kind of seeing an opportunity and they just want to make money off of our community. And I kind of disrespect that. Even if I had the money to buy one of these Singers that's been for sale on PCAR Market, I don't think I would, just because if you want to see, I almost feel like if you own this car and you're driving around and you go somewhere, people are like, oh, that's one of those everybody Singers. And you know, that's just weird, right? I mean, to say $1 million car is something that it's that whole built, not bought kind of thing, even though I'm not a guy that builds cars myself. I, you know, usually break them more than when I try to build them. I just feel like this is douchebag money. This car is probably going to change hands 10 more times in the next 10 years.
It's the town bicycle. Listen,
what's interesting about that car, though, is that it has transferred so many times. And you wonder, is this one of the ones that had some delamination issues? You know, is there something really going on with it where they're just unloading it?
I don't know. That might be. I mean, we wouldn't put it past anybody involved with this sale. But what the point I wanted to make about the previous one is the guy had set the reserve, and in the organic auction, it failed to meet that reserve by over $100,000. And then it went in the deal tank. And then later on, or like the very next day, the guy sold it for a six-figure concession from where his original reserve is set based on where it wound up in the deal tank. And then this car had a much lower reserve than the previous car's even selling point, let alone where the previous car's reserve was. The previous car had 6,000 miles on it. This car only has like 2,000 miles on it. So based on how the cars have been used, they just don't make sense. So, yeah, Matthew, any suspicion you have around this, something doesn't smell right in Copenhagen or whatever.
I would like to be the first guy that bought the Singer, and now this one went for that, though. Ouch.
Yeah, just wait a little bit. All right, well, cool, guys. What else did we talk about yesterday? There's some pretty interesting cars.
Oh, yeah. We went to the opposite end of the spectrum, JP, and looked at the 1978 Porsche 911 SC Targa. Although the car had 100,000 miles on it, the paint job on it looked like it had 500,000 miles on it. Incredible sort of roached out patina on this car, but the panels look straight. And we kind of commended this car for being something that's unique, because you can't recreate a patina of this nature. Cool details like the black roll bar. While he put a Turbo Carrera wing on the back, the original deck lid is included with the sale. I think we also concluded, because nobody corrected us, that SCs were only available with Fuchs wheels in this country. Nice little car, but needs some love and attention. If mechanically, it's all there. SCs are moving in the right direction. Targas are kind of hot right now. And there might be some hope for this car. So when we were looking at it, JP, it was at like $14,000. I said 27, you said 28. Our car sold for $29,000. So with the Singer and with the Targa, that's two you got right. Then we went Italian so that I could play in the game. We looked at a 1998 Ferrari 550 Maranello that was on Cars and Bids. Nice car with fair miles. I think the car had like 30-something thousand miles on it. Titanio Grigio, manual transmission, which is the big key here. Older service, so it's going to need a belt service before you go out and start enjoying it. And then this sort of burgundy kind of ox blood interior, this deep red interior with a black dash. One of the commenters on the auction lot stated that that VIN corresponds to the VIN of the 550 Maranello that Michael Bay owns, and that this car may or may not have made an appearance in one of the Bad Boys films. So anyways, that was unsubstantiated, nor did the dealer, nor the Cars and Bids, nor the consigner itself ever went in to champion that thought. So that is just a suspicion, but it was very interesting, and we thought it was pretty cool. I said $130,000. JP, you took the over because gated Ferraris have been hot. You went 140. Our car made it to $130,000, but failed to sell at that price on Cars and Bids yesterday. So this car probably remains available wherever it is being listed. But I got a Yahtzee on that one, so that was pretty cool. We looked at another Ferrari, JP, that I think was the same colorway, Grigio Titanio, but this time it was a 94 348 Spider. Beautiful car with black interior, much more recent belt service. So by all accounts, this car is turnkey. When it arrives, you can go out and start enjoying it right away. And 348s have been moving in the right direction. This car did have some miles on it. I think it had like 61,000 miles. It's here in the Bay Area, just across the Golden Gate Bridge from where I live in the city. So I said $59,000. You said $65,000. Now, our car was at like $43,000 when we looked at it yesterday. And with 5 minutes to go, JP, Matt, you're getting crack up. Matt texts, JP called me in a huff. He's like, dude, what, this car is just sitting there, $43,000. Am I buying a Ferrari today? And he got all worked up. I heard Rochelle from the other room on the phone call. She's like, you're not buying a Ferrari. It was hilarious. Anyways, we watched it count down the final 5 minutes. And then the 2 minute thing, like timer went down. And in the final like 30 seconds, somebody put a bid on it, and JP let out a gasp of relief. He's like, okay, there it goes. It's starting. And, of course, it did. This car bid on another $7,000, but still sold at a respectably low $50,000. And I'm telling you, I still think if JP had decided that 50 grand was the number, I still think that would have been a fair value for the car. It looked like it was all there. So, anyway, well done to the seller. We laughed that the consigner must have like let out a big, gasp, like, oh, thank God. And then our last car was this 2011 BMW 328i. JP, we actually both got this car wrong, to be honest.
Man, did we get this wrong?
On BAT was this little, what was it, like 60,000 mile, normally aspirated sedan with a stick, a 6-speed, but it had sport package, including the sport suspension, which are two individual options. So this is a great driving commuter car, this car gets good gas mileage, but actually is fun to drive on a back road. It was beautiful in all black, nice condition, and here it comes on the East Coast. It was sitting at like $8,000. I said 11. JP took the over at 12, but we really got the valuation of this car wrong. It went for $16,000. So we thought it was going to be like this great little sleeper steal. Turned out it wasn't a sleeper at all, and I think that's fair value for what you're getting. That's a really nice used car. Even at $16,000, it is a value. But, man, nice car.
Yeah, when that this car kind of made me get on the Craigslists and some other places, I wanted to see if I could find something similar to this because I might be needing a daily soon. My Cayenne little birdie is going away. Maybe to San Francisco. Uh-huh. Not maybe, nothing. It's going to San Francisco. it just reminded me how hard it is to find a manual. When you search BMW and then click the little manual box on something like Auto Trader, you're going to see a million ads.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't. They don't at all. And that's the problem, is that you'll get a million listings, but every single one of them, they don't have manuals. They have Steptronics or something like that. These dealers out there and the people selling these don't know manual from Steptronic or whatever. And they just like, oh, you can shift it manually with the little thing. It's like, no, three pedals. It shouldn't say manual. It should say three pedals. Because
Your car have three pedals. This box, yes or no. Yeah.
You have to look at you have to look at the pictures and look at the actual shift lever to see whether or not it's indeed a manual or not. So it's not only is it hard to find one of these, because there aren't many of them, they're buried in ads that are incorrectly listed. Sorry, I had to go on that little rant. What do you think about that, Matthew? Manual cars, they didn't make any automatic 914s, did they?
Sportomatic, there's a handful of them, but I wouldn't even consider that automatic.
Wow. Did they make a Sportomatic 914? I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Just a handful of them. They're featured in the parts catalog, but I've only ever heard of a couple of them.
Have you ever actually seen one? Because I sure as hell haven't. No. Yeah. Wow. That's got to be.
I have seen a picture of one, but I haven't seen one in person. And certainly haven't driven one.
It was factory. It wasn't someone stuffing a Sportomatic into a 914. Wow.
No, it's in the port. It's in the parts catalog that way.
No kidding, huh?
Ferrari made the California, the original California. They made like 8 of them in manual, and then the 550 Maranello. They made like 100 of them in manual, and those cars bring big money.
So wow, they made the California with a manual. I didn't even know that either. Wow. Yeah. See, you learned something new on my own show.
Yep. There you go.
All right, guys. Well, let's get to today's cars. What we do here day in and day out, Monday through Friday, is we talk about the most interesting cars of the day. And we've selected some pretty darn cool ones. P-Car Market keeps coming up with some cool cars lately for us to talk about. They fail to bring real money for them most of the time, but they sure do find interesting cars. And I think this one... really has potential to be pretty amazing. These are very hard to comp because there are so few of them. This is a 2011 Porsche 997.2 GTS. Take it away, Michael Deeb, on this car.
So check it out, JP. You and I have really covered thoroughly 997.1s, base Carreras, S's, coupes, and convertibles. And we usually only cover sticks because those are the cars we would drive. PDKs, we'll leave them for the pretentious set of Porsche owners. But what you have said time and time again is good luck trying to find a .2 Carrera with a 6-speed manual, especially an S. Well, JP, P-Car Market found, by all accounts, a unicorn. What we're looking at is a .2 Carrera coupe that is a GTS with a 6-speed manual. This is the last normally aspirated 6-speed manual you could get, right? Because the 991.1 came with a 7-speed. Is that fair to say, JP?
Yeah, I mean, other than the R. I mean, until you get to the 99, until you get to the 991.
Really not that's not apples to apples. That's not a fair comparison.
Did you say 997? Yeah, this is the last 997 you could get with a manual.
Like normally aspirated stick coupe. You're right. There is an R and there's a Touring, but like those cars are really otherworldly. I mean, this is for like layman's money.
Yeah.
That being said, our 22,000 mile example that is white with a leather and suede interior and really cool center lock wheels is offered to us out of Miami, Florida. It's a private party. GTSs are really cool because they came equipped with all the best performance parts from the factories. The Sport Chrono package, Sport suspension, bespoke Sport exhaust, PASM, it's all honor. The center locks were at that time only available on turbos and GT3s. So this is a really neat car, and it's got low miles, and it's a great colorway. I really like this car. I would absolutely own it. And I was thinking, man, you know, 75 grand, I'm all in. Well, our car is sitting at $86,000. With 3 hours to go. I mean, JP, are we looking at $100,000 two generation old 911, just a regular 911? Is that possible because it's got a stick and it's a GTS and it's low miles? I mean, that is crazy. Like, you know, for this money, you could have bought a 997 Mark I GT3 a few years ago. And now they've gone back up to $110,000, $120,000. So what is going on here with the market? This is crazy money already.
Matthew,
what do you think of these cars?
I love it. I like it with the tail. Having it in a white color, I love white cars. That is a car I would own for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And what do you think? Cool or not cool, the center lock wheels?
Love it.
Yeah, and that's a trick.
The only problem with the center lock wheels is you can't put spacers on them, and I feel like the Porsche is always going to be a little bit too far in the fender. But other than that, yeah, they look great. What were you going to say, Matt?
Oh, just the numbers on these things and what they're going with. Talking about this reminds me of Wall Street Bets. It's like, well, maybe this is some of that GameStop money coming out and finding some toys to buy. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the GTS, we've talked about it every time we talk about .2 997s. They hardly made any because it was after the recession of 2008, and they really, Porsche, you know, pulled their production way back so that they could keep the values of the cars high, and that absolutely worked. And you know, so a GTS was something that this car was at the very, this was like the first 997 GTS. There weren't GTSs in the dot ones at all. So it was really cool to see them come out with this car, and it was a value. I mean, it was like, oh wow, okay, instead of spending all that money on a GT3, you could get this car and get almost the same performance, but with a little bit, a little less whiz bang. You didn't have to have the, I almost feel like this is a GT3 T, you know, like it's a GT3 touring instead of, you know, and maybe, so go ahead.
The 997.1 GT3 was 415 normally aspirated horsepower.
Yeah.
This 997.2 GTS is 408. I mean, you're right there, Jake.
Yeah.
That's a great take. This car has sport suspension, a thicker steering wheel, a sport shifter, a short shift kit, a fire extinguisher. I mean, the guy who ordered this car ordered it to be a fantastic driving car without having to spend GT3 money.
Yeah, and it just doesn't have that big ostentatious wing on the back.
Right.
It's got the cool little splitter on the side. It's a wide body like a C4 S, but it's, you know, just a two-wheel drive. So, I mean, this car just has it all. And it's the more reliable version of the 997 engine, so no longer having issues with IMSs or cylinder scoring or any of that happy hoo-ha. So, yeah, this is absolutely where it's at. This is a true driver's car. And values now, there are no comps. We have not seen a GTS manual on any of the platforms the entire time we've been doing the show, and we've been doing this for almost a year now. I have never ever seen one, so sky's the limit on this car. I think this might be more rare in a lot of ways, or at least come to market less often than GT3s.
Right?
So light a bottle rocket, light the fuse under this one. Price is going to be really high. Deeb, where do you think it's going to go?
Again, with 22,000 miles on a 2011. So this car is 10 years old, JP, which is hard to wrap my brain around.
Right.
This car, its original MSRP was $116,000. And being a GTS, it goes from 385 horsepower up to 408. So without further ado, last night when I was making my notes on this car, I wrote $89,000, but I don't think that's high enough. It got bids overnight. And is sitting at $85,000 with 3 hours to go. It's at $86,000. So I'm gonna add 10 grand to my bid and go $99,000 and send it to you, Matt. Where do you think this car will fall?
I think this thing will bring close to sticker. You know, it's rare. The color isn't ostentatious. It's understated, but it's a great car. I think it's going to bring maybe 110, 115.
Wow.
I'll say 115.
115. So you're going sticker, basically. That's it. That's a hot take.
Yeah.
All right, JP, what do you think?
Boy, it's hard to argue with that. You know, certainly it's going to go over 100 grand for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, dot one 991 GT3s. Are 110, 115 grand. And those have PDKs, and those are soft because some of the early ones have those engine issues that are, you know, you can get into that. Do your research, you know, the early GT3s and the 991s.
Engine swaps. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them multiple engine swaps. So if those are going for a $110, $115, I think this is the better car. Any real Porsche person is going to say, oh, yeah, I'd way rather have the GTS 997.2 with a stick than that first-gen GT3. But usually that's not an option because you just can't find this car. So am I going to go over Matthew Weitzel, or am I going to go under? You said $115, Matt. I'm going to park it right above you and go $118. I'm just going to go a couple thousand dollars over because I don't think it'll make a $120, because I think most people are on the bubble and say, oh yeah, I'll get a GT3. But yeah, this is going to go up there. I mean, you can't get this car.
I really like your take, JP. In this market, like in this year, this is about as rare a contemporary Porsche as there is. I mean, honestly, there are, you know, there's probably four or five 911 R's in the marketplace in the United States right now. I wonder if there's five GTSs, you know?
Yeah, right.
But dot two GTSs from the 997.
Well, like, and then think also dot two 997 GT3s, right? Are also, you don't see any of them. Yeah. And when you do, I mean, look, GT3.2 RSs were for just 6 months ago were really soft. They were like down in the buck 40, buck 50 range. Now I'm sure if you had a .2 GT3 RS, that's going to be over $200,000. And I bet a .2 GT3 is going to be a buck 50. So this thing's got to be under that. But not, you know, so yeah, that's, I'm feeling
the market's going crazy. Summer. The market's absolutely on fire right now. It's so hard to explain. I really
so you guys, you guys are living the bid nerds and living in these auctions every day. when you're looking at these things, and if I'm going to go bid on this car, I'm going to take a look at how many people I'm bidding against and, you know, what the action's been so far. And of course it's not going to happen until the end of it, but does this give you any kind of indication of what you think the values are going to happen on this car, given the number of bidders that are in there and how far apart they are?
We used to think that was the case, or at least I used to think that was the case, but even on, auction sites that don't have, you know, notoriously strong finishes like cars and bids, if a car is really special and the buyers are out there, it can have a late flurry, even if it's showing a value at the close that doesn't make sense to the value of the car. In other words, a $40,000 car that's sitting at $16,000, even in the final minutes, it'll make all that money up, you know?
Yeah, because why would you want to bid against yourself ahead of time?
Right.
Yeah.
That's why the action's so cool. That's why we do these on the day they close, because that's when the action happens, you know?
Yeah, and it's also, too, I mean, you look at traditional auctions, you know, auction houses like eBay, or not houses, but auction sites, you know, eBay is the one that started it all, but eBay, you have that sniping thing. The auction ends when it ends, and everybody tries to get their best bid at the very last second. And as we all know, watching the show, but maybe some people listening to the show or new to the show don't realize, and you haven't seen these auction sites, every time someone puts a bid at the end, it adds 2 minutes or 4 minutes or a minute and a half, depending on which platform. But the point is that you cannot snipe. You can't just at the last second throw in a bid and win the car. If you put a bid, everyone has the opportunity to outbid you. And the auction will go on and on and on for as long as it takes. We've literally seen some of these go for hours at 2 minute increments. People bid a little bit more, bid a little bit more. And Matt, yes. Auction or bid volume definitely plays a factor into what we think our predictions will be, but it makes a difference on the type of car more often than not. So something like this, even if there are even if there's a very low bid volume towards the end of the auction, we're still going to lean towards the value of the car, and we're going to look at the platform and based on you know, what we've seen historically on the platform. So P-car market is a little bit inconsistent. If it's BAT, we know that everyone's going to wait to the last minute and then they're going to keep going. But hold on, there's still one more thing, is that that's on Porsches. When it comes to cars that are not Porsches or not super blue chip, like if we're talking about like a something weird like a Vanagon or a, well, I mean, you're never going to see a Camry on one of these because they're not enthusiast cars. Right. But if it's something like, I don't know, a WRX or something like that, that's maybe got something that's just not super, super wanted, right, or in high demand, we're absolutely going to look at the bid volume prior to, because if there's only three or four people bidding on it, especially on something like cars and bids, you might be able to take it away. Like that BMW that I accidentally bought. There were hardly any bids on there, and I threw a bid in and wound up having to go visit my friend Matt in Portland to buy it. So sorry, that was a long rant, but it's a very good question. It is how we kind of factor what our bid predictions wind up being. A little method to the madness. Did you want to say something else to that, Dee, before we went on to the next car? Sorry.
With BAT, mass adoption has occurred. So, you know, by and large, more of the popular cars like Porsche or, you know, like a Mustang or something, BAT is no longer a place to get a car for a great price. It's to get the unusual car you're looking for. Yeah. But because there's so many users, we really don't see, it's not very often that a really great car falls through the cracks on PAT. The community is there and most cars go for what current market value is. The other sites are smaller, they have less users, and occasionally you can find yourself a really rare car at a really nice deal. I bought my little Mercedes 190 off P-car market and I think I saved, you know, quite a bit of money by buying it there. So,
All right. Okay. So what are the cars we have today? It's the end of the week. We got to get to the weekend. Yeah. Everyone's going, let's get to the cars. These guys talk too much about stupid stuff. Get to the cars. All right. Get to the cars. All right.
Well, we have a couple of cool air-cooled Porsches we'll do at the end. Let's get a couple of these unusual cars out of the way. Rad right. for sale.
Oh, yeah.
Found a car. JP, we covered this exact model in 1989 Dodge Dakota Sport. This is a small pickup, that is a convertible from the factory. You and I covered one of these that had really low miles on Hemmings Auto News, and that was really unusual lot for us. And I was like, JP, I really don't remember this car at all. And it was like so cool to see such a rare American domestic car. Well, go ahead, check it out. Look at this. Rad for Sale found one in Los Angeles that has quite a few more miles on it. This one has 93,000 original miles. The Dodge Dakota Sport, I believe, is a two-wheel drive. It's a 3.9-liter V6, three-speed automatic. Really cool. The interior on this car looks super clean. The cloth and these cloth bench seats looks really, really clean. But there are a lot of signs of wear and tear in the paint and on the finish of the outside. The wheels have some rash and all that sort of thing. But look, this car is – the condition almost doesn't matter because the car itself is so rare. When, again, will somebody make a convertible pickup truck? I have no idea. This thing is just super trippy, and I hope that the guy who buys this plans on bringing it to a Radwood near him. The current bid is at $6,000, but there are 6 hours to go before this lot closes. 11 bids is not a ton of action, but that's pretty good action for Rad for Sale. I do think this is the right platform for such a car. I think this car has every chance to break $10,000 on a 100,000-mile domestic small pickup. That would be all the money and then some. So, Matt Weitzel, could you see yourself driving a convertible pickup truck in Portland, Oregon? Come on. Be truthful. This is the 914 parts truck. Come on. Let's go.
It reminds me of the Typhoon with the little aero kit they got on the side of that thing.
Absolutely. And it might be a same part number. You never know.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next convertible was what, the SRT? SSR?
Yeah,
Chevy.
That's right.
Yeah, this is definitely Radwood, and I lived in the 80s and had all the friends with the mini trucks and all the 18 speakers in the bed of the truck and set all the alarms off while you drive down the street. This one's a little more rugged than those because those are always the Nissan hard bodies. So it's cool, but it's a Dodge Sport, so I can't get too excited about it other than the year, and it's a little nostalgic for me, but. Anything with a red interior, I'm just not a fan.
Oh, that's funny.
This thing is definitely, hard to love. The only way you're going to have fun with this is ironically. This is absolutely something to take to Radwood, and that's about it. I mean, you know what? It's a convertible, so anything that has a drop top is going to be inherently fun. So that really, I would way rather have this than a regular Dodge truck of pretty much any. I mean, you pointed at, I would rather drive this truck than anything brand new that Dodge makes. Like anything.
You know, I might actually
a
be
single
a
single car.
I might actually look at this thing just to bring to Radwood, and then, Mike, I'll leave it at your house and sell it in the bay. How's that?
Absolutely.
That's a great idea. You should totally do that, man.
I would do that.
I'll put decals all over it. We'll make it the Porsche parts truck for sure.
Oh, dude,
it's got to have like geometric shapes that are in neon all over it, and then it's good to go.
Exactly.
You need to get a Local Motion sticker and some of those. Remember those windshield wipers that had the little fins on them? Dual blade Ungo windshield wipers?
And the Radwood decal that looks like a mixtape, like a cassette tape.
Yes, I like
that decal.
I am disappointed.
Damn you guys.
Yeah. They showed that this truck actually has cup holders, and for its era, that's a big deal. But unfortunately, they put a can of LaCroix in there, which is so not Radwood. I mean, why wouldn't you put like a can of New Coke or something?
Yeah, or Bartles and James wine. Coolers.
Exactly.
I literally stepped over to
California
my desk.
Coolers.
Yeah, thank you.
On my desk behind me, I have a can of Jolt Cola.
No way!
I don't know. Can you guys see it down there?
I used Jolt Cola in high school to binge study for tests the next day. I am telling you, I have drunk three or four of those things to stay up till 3 a.m. studying, and then woken up 2 hours later to go take a test.
Grandfather of all energy drinks.
I got can from Dustin Dapkus at the L.A. Radwood. He gave that to me, and it's been sitting there for years. And I just went to grab it to bring it over here, and apparently at some point got hot or something like that and broke open. It stuck to the shelf. Like, I couldn't get it up. The whole shelf was shaking. So my wife is going to be angry at me because she's going to be like, you ruined the shelf over here. The Jolt Cola only has a shelf life of a few years, apparently. Anyways,
shout out
we'll
to Dustin
Dumpkiss.
What's up, Justin? How you Dustin. Doing, man?
Dustin, yeah, Dustin. Yeah,
I called him Justin twice before. I apologize.
What the heck,
Dustin.
Man? He hates you now.
No, of course, everybody.
He's a great guy. Okay, so where's this dumbass Dodge gonna land? This is gonna be
JP.
This is,
I should,
ironic
I should
wise,
mention,
can't go too high, right?
Yeah, the wheels are off a different car, and this car was lowered, and those ground effects that Matt was talking about are actually aftermarket. So there are just some slight modifications, but they do look sort of period correct.
That's pretty correct.
And I mean, again, the whole thing here is, where are you going to find another one of these? It's interesting that the Bitburns have covered two this calendar year. Yeah, but these are still, by all accounts, these are very rare, even as a domestic car that they probably sold thousands of. So out of LA, JP, with 6 hours to go, sitting at $6,000, I'm all in on this thing. I think somebody on Radwood is going to spend all the money on it. I'm going to go $12,000.
Wow. Matt, how much are you going to have to drop to bring this thing to Rad for sale? No, not Rad for sale, but Radwood.
I would drop what it's at right now, but the shill that's in there is going to push it higher. You've got somebody in there bidding against himself.
Yeah.
I think or something, but I can see that thing. What would I pay for it is where I keep getting stuck with, because now you got me thinking about bringing the stupid thing to Radwin.
Give us a number, man.
Myself if I bid on it. 10,000.
10,000's your number. All right. Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, this truck
JP,
has a...
Does Matt know when he gives us a bid he's not in for that money? He doesn't have to buy
the
car.
Yeah, you're not obligated by the car, but I think...
No, but now I'm seriously thinking about bringing it to Radwood.
You totally should. If you buy a car from Radwood or Rad for sale, you automatically get admittance to and get Rad royalty or whatever. So
we just made that up, but it's a thing.
It's a thing. I love that it has a tonneau cover over the back, so you can load the back full of either Jolt Cola or Coke. And I don't mean
big
the
speakers.
Soda pop, and or both. Yeah, I mean, you can just bring a load of 80s swag in this thing, cover it up and roll in there. If you had, you found like a shipping container full of old Rubik's Cubes and rolled up to Radwood, you would just be cleaning up. I love it. But $10,000, I don't know, man. What was your bid, Deep, and where's it at now?
12. 12. It's at 6 with 6 hours to go.
All right, I'll park in between you guys and go 11 then. Does it break 10? I don't know, but why not? I hope Matt buys it for like
$9,000
or, you know, 80 something.
Can get 10 grand for this car.
Yeah, if it were anywhere else, I think it would. Yeah. Oh yeah, Hemmings, no way. All right, let's hear. How about a car? Did we talk about any other cars, or we just have weird pickup trucks?
How about a shooting break on cars and bids? Doug DeMiro found. JP, earlier in the week, we looked at a Z4M Roadster with an S54 motor, and you had talked about the faulty subframes. And I said, oh, yeah, this car's got subframe connectors. And I was confusing that Roadster with this lot here. This 2001 BMW M Coupe, offered out of Lutz, Florida, with 67,000 miles on it, is also an S54 with a couple of very cool modifications. The front has H&R coilovers. The rears has Bilstein V8 shocks with H&R springs. And then he put Randy Forbes subframe reinforcement kit and did that on the rear end. And he also added stainless steel brake lines and a K&R filter. These are all modifications I would absolutely do to this car myself if I own the car. This is a really nice one. The S54, as we know, takes the venerable 3.2 liter inline six from 240 horsepower and adds individual throttle bodies per cylinder to get a whopping 315 brake horsepower. Add to that 252 pound foot of torque with a 5-speed manual and a limited slip differential. You have a lightweight, very sporty, great driving car. When BMW talks about being the ultimate driving machine, most of their cars are really sedans. It's very rare that BMW puts out a pure sports car, driving car, and that's what this is, and that's why these cars are still well-loved. Great driver, nice condition, tasteful and relevant modifications. This is absolutely Bid Nerd endorsed. The high miles would not scare me here because these are good cars from the word go. Get yours while you can. Matt Weitzel, any love for the hatchback shooting brake? Are you a GTI fan, a closet GTI fan at heart? This car is your love child or what? What do you think?
You know, if I was going to own one of these Z3s, it would be one of the coupes. I think that, you know, you get a little bit more performance out of these, right? They're a little bit funner to drive out of these than the regular ones. And the side vents on this thing that remind me of the 8, the James Bond car. I mean, it's just got a lot of little details to it that I think is cool, but they're just so unique. And you don't see them on the road very much. And I would have...
No, we lost Matt for a second there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, the shooting brake car, I mean, these things are so much fun. They drive so well. Our friend Sahan had one of these, and we drove the heck out of it. And, you know, I never really liked the way they looked until, I don't know, they kind of they've grown on me. Yeah. I'm still kind of, for the money, I'd rather spend, you know, because they're really not that much more. The Z4, I think, is just so much better design. But these have a special place in our heart, and it's a great thing that BMW made this car happen. And actually, Matt, the Z8 was not in the first James Bond movie that had one of these. They actually featured a Z3, crappy one, like a really lousy convertible
in the Z3. Bahamas.
Like an aqua blue one on tan, a car that would be worth about $2,500 now. It's so funny if you ever watch that movie to see him roll up in that. Like, what are they doing in that thing? Holding up.
He doesn't drive the car more than 20 miles an hour in the movie.
So anyways, this car is a true driver's car. And yeah, I think anybody that gets one of these is going to have a great time. The values, as per everything else, is shooting up. Have these gone up that much that it's going to be crazy? It's Cars and Bids, which is not really the best platform. Where do we think this is going to land, Michael Deep?
With under an hour to go in Lutz, Florida, our car is sitting at $31,333 on 18 bids. So within the hour, the big question is whether or not this car is going to break 40 grand, JP. And I think the miles and maybe the fact that it's buried in Florida might hold it back. Last night I was a little more optimistic at 41 grand, but I think I'm going to bring my bid back just a little bit. I don't like changing my bid morning of, but I'm going to go $39,000 and say that this one just misses. Maybe it's the platform, maybe it's the Florida, maybe it's the miles, maybe silver is boring. I don't know. 39 grand, that's where I'm at. Matt, what do you think this car is going to sell for?
I think it'll break 40. I think these cars are worth a lot more than that, and the platform may hold it back. From watching you guys and learning from you, I haven't bid anything on there.
Blasphemy. No, we don't teach.
Yeah.
How many?
40.
You said 40 grand, Matt?
45. I think if it was bring a trailer, it would bring more than that, but I think 45 with what's there.
So if Matt, if you're saying 45, I'm going to park between you guys and actually steal your what I thought was going to be your bid at 40. I couldn't agree with you more, Matt, that if this were on BAT, this car would be bringing well into the high 40s, maybe even 50s, because it is an S54. If it was an S52 engine version, then, yeah, I'd be pretty soft on it. I'd be like, well, I think maybe 35. But, I think it'll break 40 and well into it, but I don't know if it'll go quite 45 on Cars and Bids. A better platform would bring more money. We shall see where this one goes. Great car, though. Great car. I'm with you, Deep, though. Florida and miles aren't
tough.
A good
That's
thing.
Tough.
Yeah, those are especially big, big problems.
I didn't study it, but JP, if the Carfax reveals that car's been in Florida for 5 years, you don't even really want that car. That's terrible.
What do we always say about the cars in Florida? You can smell them from here. I mean, just can you imagine being inside that car? How much the glue and the DNA and the musty.
A man from Florida.
Yikes. Yeah.
All right. So for our last two cars, we have two air-cooled Oregon cars just for our guest host today, Matt Weitzel. On BAT, let's start with the 1963 Porsche 356B Cabriolet out of Bend, Oregon. Showing 88,000 miles on the odometer, but these small odometers, who knows? It's true mileage unknown. By all accounts, this car is still being propulsed by its original 1.6 liter flat four with a four speed manual transmission. Now, our car looks to be red with a tan interior and a black soft top, but a little bit of studying goes a long way because our car was originally Heron gray with red leather. And before we get even started on this car, I will just go out on the record and say vehemently, I would much prefer this car if it was Heron gray with red leather interior. I think that'd be really, really cool. 356s are kind of a mixed bag because there's so many of them in the United States. It seems like the really nice ones bring unobtainium money, and the really crappy ones are languish in the low end of the spectrum, which is still in the $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, sometimes $70,000 range. And sometimes you think, God, $70,000 is a lot of money for a car that might be in crappy condition. So 356s are always hard to gauge. And while I have a love affair with them, I from a romantic standpoint, I love looking at these cars. I love seeing them. I love being around them. But it's just this weird thing where I don't pine for one. I don't desire to own one myself. If I did, I'd have to throw a lot of money at it to make it something I would enjoy driving. This one is really nice. These cars are welcome anywhere. They turn heads everywhere they go. And everybody who owns them loves them. The same way I guess we talk about a Volkswagen thing, JP, might not be the fastest car. It might not be the sportiest car, but it doesn't mean you're not going to have a ton of fun driving them. The thing is, I want to go fast, so this thing just doesn't speak to me in that way. Anyway, a lot to like here. Details like the exhaust that's coming out of the rear bumperettes, it's really cool. Nice car, sitting at $80,000 with 3.5 hours to go. Matt, you ever owned a 356? I know you're an air-cooled head.
No. No, I haven't been that cool. They are – I love the details on these, on the Bs. Yeah. It looks like
– Frills.
Yeah, I mean, JP, this could be the model for yours.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, wow, that's a good take, yeah.
I have a very rare, probably more rare than this car, a 356B Cabrio that looks just like this that is not real. 99% of fakes out there, or replicas, as it were, are 356A Speedsters and the occasional 356A Coupe. But I actually came across one of these made by Invimo out of Brazil that is a 356B Cabrio, and we are trying to get a bunch of work done to that car, and we're going to put it up for sale. Cool. And I'll tell you what, Deeb, I got a chance to drive it for the first time a few days ago, and it still needs a bunch of sorting out. But holy cow, is it fun. Of course, mine has
Way bigger motor than this.
It's going to be way faster. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, if this came with your motor, I'm in. Man. That's what I'm talking about. I want to throw money at this to make it fast. I'd want, you know, either a four cam or a type four motor, and I would just rip, you know. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Matt, how far away is Bend, Oregon from Portland?
About 3 hours. Beautiful place. It's kind of like Palm Springs to LA.
Towards Washington or towards
east.
The coast? East. Ah, okay.
East. Towards Central Oregon.
It's right smack in the middle of the state. It really is beautiful out there. One of my favorite places to go and drive.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's where Jim from Three Pedal Posse moved to.
Did he move there? Right? Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Our friend Mike Anderson from God and Porsche of Las Vegas, his father used to have a dealership in Bend.
Carrera Motors, I think was the name of it. And they did Porsche and BMW, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All kinds of cool stuff. All right, so what do you think, Deeb? You think this is going to see some big numbers? I mean, being a color change, and it looks really nice, though.
We have action on this car. Guys, last night, our car, and I'm talking midnight, our car was at $52,000 on 13 bids. And now our car is at $80,000 on 21 bids. So they are starting to fight over this car from last night. And get this, last night I put $83,000 as my bid, and the car is at $80,000 with 3.5 hours to go. So I think by all accounts, the condition of this car is shining through. And people are starting to position themselves to take it. So I have to modify mine because it's for sure going to bring more than $83,000. The question now is whether or not it's going to break 100. It's a B cab. It's not a super. So I'm just going to add say $12,000 to mine. I'm going to go $95,000 here and leave my bid there and say that it would break 100 if it were a super, if it were an S with a higher spec motor. But because it's not, I think it stays under 100 grand. Matt, am I wrong? What do you think?
I don't know that you're not wrong. I'm just looking at the action that's on that. Those guys are going after each other, so I think it'll probably break 100.
Okay.
I'm going to go 100 and...
Say again, Matt. We lost you. Looks like Matthew's...
105.
105. Okay.
Thank you,
yeah.
Matt. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this
you
thing
froze
goes
for a second.
This thing goes way into the hundreds. I mean, this is I'm going to go low and say 125. I mean, it's
wow,
a Reuters.
Okay.
It's you know, the bees are yeah, this is a pretty rare car, and I mean, yeah, you're right. It's not a Super 90 or something like that, but it's still, I mean, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
I would have liked to
have
seen it the regular color, but yeah,
I think
this
the regular
is,
color
awesome.
Would have been fantastic. If it was a regular color, I'd say it's a $130,000 car. But color change, I don't know, whatever. And not a super, I don't know. Listen, the market is crazy, and I have never professed to understand the 356 market at all. Remember, Ben, the professor, walked me around Emery Outlaw shop, and we're looking at all the silhouettes, and he helped me denote the difference between A's, B's, and C's, which was really fun to do. If you ever hang out with the professor, he's just great to talk to. But I just don't have enough experience. So JP, you might be right on the money there. I'd love to see you get a Yahtzee. I'd love to see me get a Yahtzee. All right, last one. This one I picked just for you, Matt. Do you know the guys at Avant Garde in Portland?
Yes.
I had a feeling you would. Their handle on BAT is 911R, but their business name is Avant Garde. And I am a huge fan of Avant Garde. Almost every single car they sell is something I would want to own. Their modified cars always speak to me. They have a really cool selection of, like, you know, racing Ford Escorts and Mustang SVOs, and then all these cool Porsches. They're definitely Porsche guys. Really neat cars up there. Their in-house photographer takes fantastic images, usually around the golden hour, always with these industrial and train and countryscapes in the backdrop. And when they do their videos for their listings, they always mic the exhaust. They slap a microphone off behind the exhaust pipe so that when you're looking at the in-car footage of the car driving on the road in and around Portland, you hear the exhaust, and they put a little disclaimer: the car is not this loud, we mic the exhaust. But they create really great content. I've transacted with them on behalf of God and Porsche before. By all accounts, really good guys. And I'm happy to hear that you know them up there in Portland, Oregon. So what we're talking about here is this 1976 Porsche 912E that has been modified. Just drink in the details. H4s, hubcap-less steel wheels. The car is lowered. It was originally a black-on-black car, but just a little Mobile One Pegasus on the front quarter just kind of gives you a look. The car also has a quad exhaust sticking out the back. I mean, they did really neat details. It's got a Momo steering wheel. Really neat stuff here. And the car is doing well. With 4 hours to go, it's already up to $40,000. And yet the drivetrain shows, the 2-liter drivetrain shows 157,000 miles on the odometer. So it just goes to show you that marketing condition can really drive the value of a car. A 912E at 40 grand with 4 hours to go. Matt, take it away. Tell us about your acquaintances or your friends up there at Avant Garde.
You know, it's sad as I spend more time with you guys than I do even with the local people here. So we've got an event tomorrow morning that's a pop-up event for Taste of Motorsports, and we'll see them out there tomorrow. We've done a few drives here in the fall, but I did so much activity with people outside of the country or outside of the state last year that would have been probably better suited with doing stuff with these guys locally. They're really good people, really good shop. And, you know, I always love a 912E. This is basically the Gen 2 of the 914 because this is where all the parts went to after they discontinued it. So this is that 914 motor, that Type 4 that's in it. And, it's a driver car. I think that the photography and the video and everything do a lot for this. It's got a little bit of, road wear on it, but I think it's a good solid car, and they're rare. So that 912E, my brother has one of these as well. And I'm guessing that this one's probably going to be about 50. I don't need to jump into my numbers yet, but I think it's a nice running car. It's well sorted out, but it's definitely a driver car. It's not trailer queen or anything by any means, but very nice work with everything that they do. So I think it would be very well sorted out.
Yeah, JP, looking at the picture. Yeah, looking at the pictures, this thing is a lot more rough than it appears, but it's a perfect hot rod. I would absolutely love to own a car like this. You know, it's all the 911 look with the impact bumpers and everything like that. All the little details are details that you absolutely have to get behind. I love the steel wheels. I suspect those are spare 944 wheels. That's kind of the thing to do on these. They're a little So, you know, because they're not, and they just look great on, you kind of need light and small on a 912 because these don't have any power. I mean, these are not typically fast cars, you know, with that little 2-liter four cylinder. But, you know, if set up right, you're going to have a great time. Our friend Bradley Brownell, the respected journalist, you know, he drives one of these and he's driven his all over the country, famously mellow yellow. And he's also appears in a Porsche Road Trip, one of the episodes. This car is set up exactly the way you should set one of these up. No frills, drive the heck out of it.
JP, picture this. I love the steel wheels. And as silly as this sounds, I would change out the wheel studs to be longer so that they would come through the nuts and stick out an inch over the top of the wheel. Like that's, I would spend the money just to have the look. I just think that would finish off these steel wheels. But I do really like the silver steels on the black car, especially lowered. It looks great.
Yeah. This would look really awesome in a mid-year. That setup would look really awesome in a mid-year Targa. Our friend Dwayne Wick has a black mid-year Targa that he's working
that car
on.
Up, didn't he?
I hope that would be really cool if he went with this same kind steals. Of style, the steels on it. All right. Where do we think this car is going to land? And before you give us your number, Michael Deeb, I want to put it out there to our fans. We want you to subscribe, of course, hit the like button, and of course you need to hit those notification buttons so you know when the freshest nerd shows are available. But if you really want to help us out, if you really call yourself a bid nerd and you're a fan of the bid nerds, go over to Bring a Trailer, go over to Cars and Bids, go over to P-Car Market, go to the places where the cars that we've talked about today are for sale right now. And mention us in the comments on those platforms. That brings a ton of people over here, and we really need your help. Pick a fight with someone on. Yeah, this is like Fight Club, right? Get out there and just punch someone in the face.
Start some shit.
Figuratively, not literally. But be nice over there. Go over to BAT and say, hey, we saw this car. This is so amazing. You saw it on Bid Nerds. They said it was great. Whatever you want to say. Bid Nerds are idiots, but hey, they talked about these great cars. We're fine with that. Just mention us on the comment sections on these auction sites. That brings a lot of people over to our show, and people have a great time making fun of us. So, all right. So with that said, Michael Deeb, where do you think this car is going to land? What's the price?
$48,000 takes this 912E home, and I think Matt's going to go over me again.
Big I will. Number for a G-body. What do you think, Matt?
I think it'll break 50. I'm going to put it right at 50. Yeah, 50.
All right. 50K. I'll park under you, Matt, and go 49. It's still a 912. It's really cool. It's a driver. It has all the eyeball. But at 50, you could get an SE, and that's crazy to say that you could get an SE for 50 because a SE should be 30-something. But, yeah, 50 is SE money, and that, I'm sorry, is just, you know, this one's really, really cool. But get an SC for that money. You're crazy to get a 912, even though this one's just awesome. All right. Well, there it is. Those are the cars of the day. That's the cars of the week. We are done with Bid Nerds for the week. We'll be back on Monday. Matthew Weitzel, thank you for hanging out with us.
Happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Anything you want to plug before we close out for the week?
Yeah, I want to plug you guys. Everybody that's watching the show needs to get somebody else to watch the show. It's going to be like the Pantene commercial, and you tell two friends, and you tell two friends.
That's awesome.
We are like Pantene, two guys that don't have any hair. Got it. Okay. Make it three, right? We all have really good haircuts, let me just tell you.
Sweet hats.
gonna have to get a bunch of these made with Bid Nerd logos right in the front. All right, well thanks for joining us, guys. We really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. This is your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. Come back Monday and join us again for another week of Bid Nerds at 9 o'clock Pacific time. Michael D, Matthew Wetzel, thank you so much for joining us, and get out there and drive your cars, guys. Don't just take a microfiber or a diaper and wipe them down. Drive these things. We'll see you
absolutely next week. Matt Wetzel, thanks for coming to the show, man. Love you, buddy.
All right, I'm gonna go buy my Dodge Dakota Sport.
You do. We got decals for you.
Get the